So, I'm going to talk about, so Amitai's talked about how we've got to today with CTDB. I'm going to quickly summarize where we're up to. Some of this material, you know, the first half or more of the talk comes out of a talk we did at LinuxConf AU in wherever it was early this year, New Zealand. And then I'll sort of talk about where I think we want to go and how we might get there. And please heckle. Please give me better suggestions. So what are we talking about? Okay, everyone was in Amitai's talk, so everyone knows that we're talking about CTDB. What is CTDB? It's a way of sharing TDBs across SMBD instances on different nodes in a cluster and providing the same information or distributing the information between nodes and migrating it. So what does CTDB do? Well, because you've got a cluster of nodes, nodes join the cluster and they leave the cluster. So you do cluster membership. And because you need somebody to be in charge, they elect an esteemed leader. And that leader has various responsibilities in the cluster. The other thing it does is provides the databases for Samba. That's the primary function. And when nodes come and go, does database recovery. It also provides a cluster-wide messaging transport for Samba. It manages services like Samba, NFSD, and whatever else you might want to integrate with CTDB, and it monitors those services by checking to make sure the service is listening on the port that it's expected on. And it also does IP address management, failover, and consistency checking. So it's a bit of a jack of all trades. So that's what we're talking about. Where are we? Well, we've got this architecture. We've got some processes that exist for the lifetime of CTDB, and there are two of them. There's the main daemon, which I notionally think of as the database daemon, and then there's another daemon called the recovery daemon, which I think in the very first versions of CTDB just did database recovery. And then there are some processes that come and go, and there's only a few of those. And they exist so that because we use a process architecture and we never want to block, whenever we want to do something that might block, we fork a process, let it do the thing that potentially blocks, and then we come back. Well, the main process continues. Okay, if we take the functions that we talked about at the beginning and map them to the two daemons, here's what happens. Cluster membership is in the main daemon. Our heartbeat type thing and noticing that other nodes have joined happens in the main daemon. But the recovery daemon handles the elections for cluster leadership. Database access comes from the main daemon. Database recovery is handled by the led by the recovery daemon. The main daemon provides the messaging transport. If you want to manage your IP addresses, your CTDB command that adds IPs or causes them to be reloaded talks to the main daemon, but failover is managed by the recovery daemon, and the consistency checking is also done every second by the recovery daemon, and service management is done by the main daemon. So we've got these functions, and they've kind of been split in this kind of bizarre fashion between the two daemons. We also have a bunch of design limitations. So the main daemon, well, the functionality is, both of the daemons are overloaded in that there are multiple functions in each of them. And particularly the database daemon, well, both of them do a mix of time-critical and non-critical stuff in the same daemon. Now, the most time-critical thing that we do in CTDB is migrate records around the place, the database daemon. Nothing else, I would argue, except, well, recovery is pretty time-critical. You don't want to spend half an hour recovering your databases. But all those other things, the service management, the IP management, even the cluster management, you're not throwing around so many packets a second that they're time-critical operations. We've also got this communication bottleneck where any communications between the nodes happen between the main Samba daemons. We've got a bit of a non-scalable cluster leader election where any time a node joins the cluster, its recovery daemon goes, I don't seem to know about a recovery daemon. I'm going to say, I should be the leader and I'm going to call an election. And if you try to do a couple of hundred nodes, a cluster with a couple of hundred nodes, this doesn't scale very well. So, you know, it might be better if a node came around the loop and went, oh, I don't have a leader set. I wonder who the leader is. Ah, that node over there. So, you know, waiting for 2 seconds, the nodes could avoid that election. And there's also the serial database recovery that Amate mentioned, which causes issues in itself. All of the configuration state is stored in the main daemon. Some of it is only used in the recovery daemon. Things like the IP allocation stuff. All of the functions are also really tightly coupled. Cluster membership, health of a service, IP allocation, they're all intertwined, and we've got this recovery daemon that tries to do all of these things at once. In the implementation, well, the protocol is still comes from, shall we call it, the prototype. The protocol is just structs dumped onto the wire. And anything that needs to be marshaled and not just dumped on the wire is hand marshaled. There's only a few examples of that. We can hit limits for packet size because sometimes we try to throw really, really big things onto the wire. And we don't have a strong messaging framework. When talking to the recovery daemon, we just send these serve ID messages. We go, hey, here's a message. And we don't do any tracking of those messages like is done with the database requests. And you can argue that the first hurdle for splitting this thing up into multiple daemons would be to get a messaging framework, but I will suggest an alternative to that. We've also got the CTDB command, which has an unstructured list of about, is it 60 verbs? And, you know, you want to add another function, add another verb, combination of verb, noun, you know. So that's something we also have to fix at some stage. Similarly for the configuration, it's flat, it's not structured in any way. So it would be good if we could fix that too. So we've got some scalability limitations. Everything is mixed into this. The database daemon is what really needs to scale and perform well. We've got a whole bunch of stuff mixed into that, which means if we were to try and go nuts and multi-thread or do something, you know, have a process per database for the database daemon, you know, where is the cluster management going to live? Where is the IP handling going to live? And where is the service management going to live? We've got that limitation in database recovery. We've also got some maintainability issues. Amitai mentioned that there are only really two people doing lots of active development, he and myself. Part of that, I think, is when people look at the code and they say all these, you know, somebody says, well, I want to change this feature here. And then they start looking at the code and they see that the code that handles that feature is mixed with the code that handles all these other features. And they just get overwhelmed, I think. You know, it would be good if they could come in, see the feature that they want to work on isolated and go, ah, yes, I can do that in 2 hours. Because nothing takes more than 2 hours. So yeah, the code has grown organically, full of hacks and band-aids. There are a whole bunch of ad hoc data structures in there. Even within CTDB, even though we're a cluster database, we've got ad hoc data replication. So when we track connections so that we can kill them when we do failover, we want to kill the connection so they can be, so the client can reconnect to the node that takes over an IP address. The connection info that CTDB uses and transfers between nodes is replicated in an ad hoc manner, even though CTDB is a replicated database. We could use the database function, but we don't. Similarly, for NFS locking information, it's replicated in an ad hoc way. And you'd think I would have remembered to put the slide in that talks about what we should do to fix that. So we've got a bit of a catch-22. We really want to fix things and make it really neat and shiny so that everyone who uses CTDB loves it, gets the performance they deserve. So we need your help as developers, if you are developers. But the barrier to entry is really high because the code is a bit of a mess. So where to? Upward and onward. Okay, clearly the first thing that we should do is separate the functionality into individual daemons. So we could have a cluster management daemon. Take the current cluster management code that does leader elections, does the keep alive stuff to notice and, you know, notices when other nodes join. So all the membership and cluster leader election stuff could go in its own daemon. All our public IP stuff, some of it's a little clever, although you might replace it with some other failover system. We might as well separate this out into something, into a separate daemon. Our service management, there's nothing terribly tricky going on there, but we should separate it out, and then we can have a database daemon, which does what it does, one thing that it's really good at, and perhaps others. So, a cluster management daemon, it really only needs to know a couple of things. It needs to know if other nodes are connected. It needs to know if they're active or whether they've been kicked out of the cluster. It needs to... you need to know which node is the leader so that when you need to coordinate certain things like coordinate database recovery or if you want a node to reallocate the IP addresses allocated to the different nodes, you should really only have one node doing that at a time, so you need a leader to be elected. And the other question is, if we separate out this functionality, can we use other third-party cluster management things and make it pluggable? We should definitely do this. For the public IP address daemon, well, instead of spreading that functionality around, have a file containing your public IP addresses, tell the daemon to reload them. If a node goes unhealthy or becomes inactive, you do a failover. And currently the recovery daemon spins around doing a whole bunch of things in its so-called main loop, and one of them is to go, are the IP addresses where they should be? If they're not, you know, it freaks out and either causes an IP takeover run, and if it thinks things are really messed up, it causes a database recovery. So, you know, for this, we'd have a subset of the current command line interface for status and management. And, you know, we really only need a very simple IP reallocation trigger where you say these nodes can host public IP addresses. And that would just be a callback from, you know, the other daemons that notice a state change in the cluster. And, you know, can we throw this out too, or make it pluggable, replaceable with somebody else's code? You know, if there's much better code than ours, we should not have code. We should. But there, that said, it's probably some, you know, I've hacked on this code. It's dear to me. So, you know, we should separate it out and keep it there for people who want to use it. And, you know, for history's sake. Service management daemon, well, four functions. We want to start up Samba. We want to shut down Samba. We want to monitor the health and call that callback for the public IP address daemon when the health of a service changes. And when the IP address configuration changes, because we've done a failover, some services might care. So they might want to, you know, decide NFS locking. Amy, can we support something else? That would be nice. Jose, happy man. Okay, once you get rid of all the other stuff, you should have a database daemon. And that should be the main focus of CTDB. And it should do the obvious functions. The database operations required by Samba, database recovery, and vacuuming or garbage collection. And we need this messaging stuff. And, you know, some guy has done some great work on with Samba's Unix domain datagram sockets. You know, we really need a good messaging framework. And I don't know much about that. I just, you know, it's good to mention these things. How do we get there? With plenty of schnapps. Okay. Sorry? An English word? Schnapps? Yeah? Yeah, yeah. So I think it's coming up to 3 years ago, maybe four, I don't know. It feels like forever. Amate and I got sort of heavily into this. Ronnie Salberg, who used to maintain CTDB, you know, he took off, stopped working on CTDB, and we started getting serious about it. You know, I'd messed with the script, so I hadn't done anything terribly serious. You know, as you look through the code, you kind of go, really? Oh. And after a while, you just get this itch to throw it all away and start again and redesign everything. Yeah. I think it was more of a funny interjection. So every new developer wants to redesign everything. You can design some problems away, but corporate knowledge. You don't want to just forget the lessons that everyone else has learned. So coming in and being really, really clever and chucking away the old code is probably not the best solution. We don't have unlimited time and people. So, this will have to be incremental. We are not going to get 20 people in a room over a weekend and come out on Monday morning with CTDB 3.0 with no problems. This is not going to happen. So, what can we do to support an incremental effort? Well, one of the things we should do, surprisingly, is figure out how people are going to interact with this thing and only break them once. So we should take that unstructured list of verb-noun combinations and we should structure it in some useful way, write a new CTDB CLI interface. The IP and VersH are good candidates for how to do things. You know, we can go CTDB IP connection add a couple of sockets. If the command is omitted, we can read from standard input. CTDB IP connection add del. If the arguments are omitted but they said add, then we can take a list of sockets, socket pairs on standard in. And this is all really obvious, but it's a complete rethink from the current implementation. And if somebody runs these commands interactively, we can give them a read line interface and they can hack around. Huh? With tab completion. Yep. All by next Monday. No. On the way home. Now, the first thing you want to do is not redesign everything underneath, but you want to come up with a good interface and just wrap the current implementation. And then, as you implement the new daemons to replace it to redo the current functionality, talk to those things. You just change the implementation. So this is pretty obvious, but it needs to be one of the things that's done first, because otherwise, as we redevelop, we will break people. It will break our users time and time again. And users like that, don't they? Is anyone here just using CTDB? Nobody's using CTDB? That, and you would like to everything to be broken on a weekly basis? Or? All right. Similarly, there's not much to say, but for the configuration file format, currently it's a shell script. Currently, historically, it lives in etc defaults CTDB or etc sysconfig CTDB. Some time ago, we introduced etc CTDB ctdbd.conf, which I think was a little bit of a mistake doing it exactly like that with one file, but seemed like a good idea at the time. But it's still flat, and there's no structure. You know, we could go to the .conf file format and try to do something clever and structure our configuration, put it into little sections with square brackets so that people don't just scream and run away. Now, I don't care about messaging. I mean, there are people in this room who care about messaging a lot. I'm not smart enough to care about messaging. So if I want to write a new... If I want to break out some of the functionality into a new daemon, and as I do it, I want to give it a bright, shiny, new, well-defined protocol. We'll talk about how we might do that later. I want the daemon on this node, especially when you're talking about the IP, public IP daemon. On this node over here, I want it to be able to talk to the node over there. Now, how can I do that without messaging? So I want to start as soon as possible. I need the internode transport. CTDBD does an okay job of shuffling packets around. Okay, so I can introduce a new message called serve ID tunnel new protocol. And then I can create a proxy which attaches to CTDBD as a client, just like the current recovery daemon. It attaches to the new daemons as peers talking the new protocol. And then when those daemons send a packet bound for another node, it just knows, the only thing it knows about those packets is the destination node, and it pulls that out and it wraps it in this packet format that we've already got with this new message ID, tunnel new protocol, sends it to the remote node, where it lands on the proxy unwraps it and forwards it to the new daemon in the new protocol, and all of our problems are solved. Except for the perform. Right, but these ones are the bits that don't need to perform. You know, the IP daemon, the cluster management, you know, you want the messages to get there, but you're not sending thousands of them a second. And, of course, I'm lying, because this will really handle all the cases? No. There are cases that this wrapping of the protocol won't handle, but the thing to avoid when writing a proxy is a one-to-one mapping of new packets to old packets. So if you can wrap, you know, 90% of your traffic and just send it over there and unwrap it, then chances are we can probably separate out this functionality into new daemons and do it without a whole lot of effort. And some things we will have to do by hand and fix them later. But it's the doing by hand that we want to minimize. Right now, all of that different functionality, the cluster management, the public IP handling, the service management, and those sorts of things, they're all intertwined. And they all have to know about each other. Every piece of CTDB includes all the include files. It all, you know. So this shouldn't be the case. So a lot of the inter-daemon events, like services shouldn't be going healthy and unhealthy every second. We shouldn't have nodes joining and leaving the cluster every second. We shouldn't be reassigning IP addresses between nodes every second. So when these things happen, performance isn't critical because they don't happen all the time. And we could just switch to using a callback mechanism that just runs an external program. So, for example, when the services daemon notices that a service isn't listening on the TCP port that it should be listening on, it runs the IP daemon's reallocate IP addresses callback. The callback can be a script that gathers the node states, so we don't have to keep distributing a lot of this state around the cluster, especially the health status of the services. You know, it's not something that needs to be replicated necessarily. It can be, but it doesn't need to be. Figures out which nodes can host public IP addresses, and then it calls the thing for the IP daemon and says, hey, these are the nodes that can host IP addresses. And, you know, it runs an external program. It doesn't need to be a really tightly specified C API. It could be, but it doesn't need to be. So we can actually put some of the smarts into the callback script. We've got this thing in CTDB where if all the nodes are unhealthy, well, then we might as well host IP addresses on all of them, because if we've got a total outage, we might as well have the IP addresses out there to avoid a total outage. But in some cases, we don't want that, so we've got a tunable that says no IP takeover when all the nodes are disabled. We could just handle that in the callback script instead of complicating our daemon code. So keep the core code simple, and if you've got these crazy special cases, do things and handle the corner cases in scripts if we can. Similarly, for active-inactive node, when a node joins or leaves the cluster, the cluster manager talks to the database daemon and goes, the list of active nodes has changed, maybe you should do a recovery. Now I say maybe because if it was a node that couldn't host database entries anyway because it didn't have the LMaster capability turned on, thank you, and it couldn't be the recovery master either, then you would say, here's your list of active nodes, maybe do a recovery. And then the database daemon would go, I see, that node's gone away, but it wasn't hosting databases. I don't need to do a recovery. Let's continue as we are. Then the database daemon can recover databases if it needs to. When the database daemon is finished recovering the databases, it can go, hey, IP daemon, you need to reallocate IP addresses. This is all sounding so sensible, you don't know why I'm standing here talking about it. Call a callback script, it gathers the state and does what we had on the previous slide. So we have a little problem. Currently we've got all this stuff combined into one daemon, and we've got all these event scripts that we run when certain events occur. And we've got one very special event, which is monitor. So if the monitor event is happening and you try to do something important that might cause the monitoring to fail, you cancel the monitor event, and the monitor event just goes away and it gets run next time. If you're doing something important already that might cause monitoring to fail, if monitoring were to kick off now, then you come in with your monitor event and you just go, nope, you're cancelled before it even gets run. Now, we've got that logic centralized because all of our events are handled by one daemon. If we start splitting out into multiple daemons, we're going to have the same logic everywhere. And at the beginning, we're going to want to, for the very first version, we should probably stick with our current set of event scripts before we split them apart. So what we should really do is add an event daemon, have it handle all the current events completely unchanged. Then we can split out the events per daemon. And then once we've done that, we can get rid of the event daemon. So we have to waste time writing code so that we can do the migration piecewise. Protocol. Well, we've got those structs on the wire. The easiest way, so we don't want to just suddenly define a new protocol, and we don't want to have to change all of the code at the same time. So what we can do, first of all, is add an abstraction for the current protocol, for the marshalling, for all the marshalling and unmarshalling code, and that first pass of the code can still just throw the structs on the wire. And that way we don't get a protocol change, but we get better code. Then we can pull out the tablecloth, and suddenly we can re-implement all the marshalling code and unmarshalling code. We can just generate it after specifying a new protocol, and we can have a completely incompatible version of CTDB, but we can do the abstraction first with current protocol implementation, and then define a new protocol. So there's that. Protocol or protocols? Okay, so the database daemon needs to be high performance. It needs a tight protocol that, you know, that isn't wasteful. The other daemons don't. And it would be really nice to quickly prototype them. So at the risk of having things thrown at me, you know, do we want to go with a RESTful API or something crazy for these, you know, let's call them low-performance daemons? That might also get some other people interested in them if they, you know, use something that other people understand. And, you know, when we grab data from these daemons, you know, list of IP addresses or whatever, or some status, you know, can we use some format that everyone already knows about and get this information as structured text? Could we implement them in Python? You know, that gets rid of one class of problems and introduces another class. And there are undoubtedly more things we can do to make our job easier doing this sort of migration. You know, we're not going to get that weekend with 10 or 20 people, or that month with 10 or 20 people to take CTDB and stop it looking a lot like a prototype and, you know, make it so that we can do further development and really tweak the performance. So if people have other ideas, I should have probably said at the beginning, my intention isn't to stand here and say, this is how we are going to do things, because that's not how we work as a community. So if people have good ideas and better ideas, bring them on. This presentation brought to you by IBM Legal.
Thank you very much, Martin. Are there questions, comments on this topic? Yes, here's a few already.
Any plans to try and make CTDB not rely on an extant shared file system for its recovery lock?
I could have done a slide on that. Okay, so the first thing to do, which I have plans for, I've started teasing apart the recovery daemon code. You know, there was a bunch of about 15 patches that went in this month or last month. The first thing I intend to do is make it so that the recovery daemon is handled by a helper process. And right now you say CTDB recovery lock, you know, we'll add an extra variable which we will encourage the use of, which would be, you know, CTDB recovery helper. And, you know, that can be something with a format string maybe. So yes, and once you do that, you can write your own helper. If you want to not use a recovery lock, you could. Now, if we switch to a standalone cluster management system, then at the moment, the CTDB recovery lock is a bit confused. It tries to be a cluster manager lock, and it tries to be a recovery lock. So the cluster management lock, I started thinking about the recovery lock saying, oh, we should take that as soon as an election is done. We shouldn't wait for recovery. And then we should release it only when we give up the recovery master role. And then we started thinking about what happens when you have the cluster management daemon separate and you send a message saying, new leader has arrived and you're in the middle of recovery. We really need a recovery lock mechanism as well. And we should only have that lock held when we start recovery and then release it when we finish. So it's being actively thought about. So
we should get to talking at some point.
Yes, we should.
So, what we want to do is define the semantics for helper. And then as long as you implement using any other mechanism, we don't care.
Yep. So yeah, we'll implement semantics or an API for the recovery helper, lock helper, and then it can do whatever you like. You can write your own. It could be a shell script, whatever. Yeah.
I was sort of one question I had in sort of the use of this is, what is it you're trying to achieve in the end? Are you trying to achieve transparent failover for Samba?
Mm.
Is that the goal?
Yep.
That's kind of an interesting way to think about it. So we, of course, had like cluster services in Windows since like NT times. And then when you really get down to it of like when you want to make sure you can fail over a client to a different server without any of the applications running on that machine, seeing anything more than just a little brownout, that gets you thinking about how much time you have to do certain things and what's the completeness of state you need to replicate on the back end. We had to rewrite clustering. And unless you start with like all those timeouts and all that data you need, I don't think you have a really good guiding light of what it is you need to achieve. Some of the things you have like enormous amounts of data that you need to shuffle around in sub-second speeds, otherwise you will never reach transparency. So it's really good to do an analysis of what are sort of the core requirements to achieve transparent failover on Samba in terms of both the amount of data, the type of data, and at which speed you need to replicate it, and which speed you need to do all those things.
So the current model of Samba is, I mean, we are a bit different in clustering than you are. Maybe it's like your clustered volume manager, possibly. And so far we are not really replicating data. Our current model is, and this is why we scale at all, is we can lose data.
So you're not transparent.
Right now, from a Samba perspective, we are not transparent because we don't have persistent file handles. We only have best effort. So node goes down, we lose all the open file handle information that is corresponding to this one node, which is okay because client reconnects. No transparent. We need to modify that when we go persistent. So we have to then, for a client, become fully transparent And we to, and this has exactly been the talk in the other room. We need to very clearly define what to replicate, where and with what latency. And we're not done with that yet.
I mean, somewhere sort of in this funny state where you have like a variety of underlying file systems. Some file systems persist some stuff with their own replication onto shared storage. But like worst cases, you have like just a local file system that does nothing, and you might have to replicate all the stuff on multiple nodes in order to get to a working cluster, right?
We all have it. So we do only the SMB specific stuff. We expect all this.
So the NTF, what the, right, you said basically you emulate NTFS behavior on top of a POSIX file system.
We assume POSIX.
There's enough data to go around that you still will have to replicate on that case. Okay. Okay, so then you really need to look at all those timing constraints you have with the clients to basically being able to reconnect to another node, having full resiliency, and basically not experiencing any timeouts. So we spent 2 years rewriting pretty much the half operating system to get there. And so some of us, hey, maybe like, yeah, well, you don't need to reconnect in a second or 5 seconds. That's just not fine enough.